Beautiful parasha, parashas Lech Lecha, jam-packed with all the yesodos of Judaism, Yados. Okay, so we have over here in the beginning of the parasha, one of us begin by comparing parashas Lech Lecha to parashas Noach.
It's very easy. Lo Noach Lecha is Lech Lecha.
What?
Im lo noach lecha,
az lech lecha. If you don't like it, leave. Why is it fair game to compare Parashas Noach to Parashas Lech? Because the first Rashi in Parashas Noach, in the very first Rashi, what does it say? It says, I'm muted. Here, we're back in business over here online. Baruch Hashem, we have people here, a very chashva ilam here in the shul, and a very chashva ilam listening online. I'm humbled by such chashva people.
Who's more chashva than us?
No one. Your wives. That's who's more chashva.
Who?
Your wives. The noshim.
I only have one.
Okay, let's learn. We have over here, Eli told us, Noach, I know this week is Parashas Lech Lecha, but to understand Parashas Lech Lecha, we have to go back to Parashas Noach. In Parashas Noach, it's very interesting. There are two things. One thing is it's not relevant to our topic, but I just want to make this point. Noach Ish Tzadik, Rashi, the first Rashi in Parashas Noach says, Hoyl, v'hizkiroi, siper b'shvachai shnemar, zecher tzadik levracha. In Parashas Lech Lecha, it says at least twice, V'shem Rishoim Yirkov. When it mentions Sedoim, and it mentions Loit, when it talks about Sedoim, it says about Sedoim, V'shem Rishoim Yirkov, and it says Sedoim, it says about Loit. Loit was a Rasha. There's Mamash, Rashi says it's a Peferish.
Right.
We don't think of it like that. No one really associates Loit as being a Rasha. A Shakid, and Rashi in Parash Lech Lecha, Mamash, he calls him a Rasha. He calls Loit a Rasha. But the parallel of these two Mamari Chazal, they're two sides of a coin. There's Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and in the same Gemara, the Gemara says, V'shem Rishoim Yirkov. Zecher Tzadik Livracha appears in Parashas Noach, and V'shem Rishoim Yirkov, the other side of the coin, appears in Parashas Lech Lecha in reference to the Anshei Sidoim. Even though the real story of Sodom is in Vayeru, not in Lech Lecha, but yet the background to Sodom is in Parashas Lech Lecha. But that's not the point we're going to make. The point is when it says, B'doy Reisav, that Noach was a tzaddik in his generation. We have the famous Rashi, Parash Noach, Yesh Merab Haseinu, Shadarshim L'Shevach, Yesh Shadarshim L'Gnai. I'll read the words, Yesh Merab Haseinu, Darshim Reisav L'Shevach, Kolshkin Ishim Hoyim Dar Tzaddikim. Certainly, if Noach was in the door of Tzaddikim, Hoya Tzaddik Yoser. The yei shedarshim oisay lignai lifi doiroi hoya tzadik. Noach was a tzadik in his generation. Ilu hoya, here's the key words, bedoiroi shel avroham. Lo hoya nechshav lichlum. He would have been a zero. Now the parashas Lech Lecha is the doiroi shel avroham. Parashas Noach is the doiroi, even though avrom was born in Parashas Noach, but that's not his story. That's not his generation. The generation of Avraham is Parashas, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is Vayoyimer Hashem el Avraham lech lecha me'artzchem v'lavchem v'sanichel erz ha'shareka. The doiroi shel Avraham is Parashas lech lecha. Now here Rashi is telling us that yesh shedarshim lignai, if he would have lived in the generation of Avraham, he would have been a nothing. It's interesting that when it says yesh me'rab l'senu shedarshim l'sol l'shevach, Rashi doesn't say ilu hoya b'doro shel Avraham. Rashi just says if he was in the door of tzadikim. He doesn't necessarily compare to the door of Avraham. He just says if he would have been in the door of Noach, he would have been in the door of tzadikim. Which door are you referring to? Okay, so let I want to
make sense. Which tzadikim were there in the door of Avraham? The word.
Okay, so that's a good question. Honor Eshkel Mamre.
Well, Shame was around
by
Noah.
What about Shame? What about Shame? The Malki Tzedek Melech Shalim Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayin. What about Oner Eshkol Umamre? Here's a general question. We know that Avram, when he went to battle to save Lot, Vayorek Eschanichov, he took 318 men. Rashi says, Bigmatria, only one person, Eliezer. Yet when the battle was over, Avraham says, "Who are we going to give? Who should he give the spoils of war to? Give the spoils of war to my servants who stood with the Kalim, and with to my Avodah." The Rashi Pasuk there says that they deserve some of the spoils of war.
They stayed home and what?
And who are they? They went to war. They washed the Kalim. Oner Eshkol Mamre. So it wasn't just, the Pasuk explicitly says that it wasn't just Eliezer who went out with him to battle. There were a whole bunch of servants. So there's a little bit of a contradiction over here. All right,
They carried the
those who carried the arms. Okay, but the question is you're right. You're asking a question. Were there any tzaddikim in the Dor of Avraham? Okay, but let's put that aside for now. I want to make the following observation. You don't need this chazal to try to bring out the point I want to make. Noach had two major tekufos in his life. Noach lived before the Mabul in the old world, and Noach lived after the Mabul in the new world. The Mabul was a time of trauma, a year of trauma. The world came to a violent end, and the world was rebuilt. Two different worlds, a world, the old world, the whole world. We don't know what it was like, the population, what people were like, what was going on. Torah says it was a corrupt world. But it was a world. It was a whole world out there, and it was destroyed. Noach survived. He came into a new world. Noach was a very different person when the Mabul was over. Every person in their own life, they go through tekufos. At every age in their life, it's like you're a different person. You're a new person. You are defined by your experiences, by your environment, and the nisyonos that you face. Before the Mabul, the pasuk says, without any shadow of a doubt, Noach ish tzaddik. He was a good man. He was building a teva for 120 years. He was telling everyone, the world, do teshuva, the world's going to be destroyed. Join me, do teshuva. He was trying to influence the people in a subtle way. He didn't go out there at the pier of Anava and go and influence, pray for them and work with them, but he by example went against the tide of the world to try to influence people to be tzaddikim like him. When the Mabul was over, if you wouldn't know any better, you would say that he was depressed. In today's terminology, the Mabul is over, and we find a person that appears to be depressed. He comes out of the teva. He doesn't even want to come out of the teva. He has three children. He has to wait. Hashem told him to come out. We give him midrashim. And he has three children. Shem, Cham, and Yefes. And Rashi tells us, to make a long story, Rashi tells us that Noach did not want to have another child. He wanted but did not want. He was debating, should he engage in Periya Urviya? Should he have another child? And he came to the conclusion that he's not. Unless Hashem promises him that he will not destroy the world. So Hashem said to Avram, I'm going to make with you, it's a Rashi in Parashas Noach. Hashem says, I'm summarizing Rashi in my words. Yes, don't worry. Have more children. I promise you, I give you a haftacha, I will not destroy the world. It is worthy for you to engage in Kriya Urviya, to populate the world with more of your children, more children, and I'm not going to destroy the world. And the way I'm going to guarantee, Noach basically said to Hashem, prove it. You want me to have children? Prove it. Prove me. Give me a guarantee. I want some. The rainbow. The rainbow is my guarantee to you that I will not destroy the world for a purpose. So you can have children. When we look at a rainbow, very nice, the rainbow. The rainbow was a guarantee for a purpose. Have children. Okay, I don't want to go into any graphic detail, but Chazal, when they talk about having the act, the verb form of having children, it's called Yoyre Kekeshes. Okay, without going into any translations and graphic details, there's a principle in the medical science of Priya Urviya, a terminology that is found throughout Shas, every Masechta, Yoyre Kekeshes. I'm sure everyone here understands what I'm talking about. And it's not for nothing that the sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Noach, what?
Doesn't it say Kechets?
Yurik, is that the term? Okay, fine. Achetz, fine. Achetz. And what is the sign that Hashem makes it even better with? And what is the sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Noach? A keshes. It's not a coincidence that Noach says to Hashem, should I have children? Should I not have children? And Hashem says, have children. Have another child. What's the guarantee that the new child's not going to be destroyed and killed and drowned in a marble? I'm giving you a guarantee. The keshes. Because it's a keshes, so you can engage in yurik yichetz. There can be a chetz because I'm giving you the keshes. It's not a coincidence. Rashi says it beferish. What happened? He never had another child. Why not? Because you know who was listening to this conversation? Chum. Chum heard this conversation. He was eavesdropping. He bugged Noach's smartphone, and he was privy to the conversation that he had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he said, you're going to have another child? You're going to take away my Yerusha? No way. So he went, and he took advantage, and he prevented him from having another child, and he was cursed. But now, just think a little bit deeper. Why Taka did Noach want to have another child? It's he wanted to begin new, fresh. Shame, Chum, and Yefes were old school. They were old school. They were Sheres HaPleita. No, so they're Noach wanted to start fresh from his perspective. He didn't want to rely upon Shem, Cham, and Yefes. When they're going to continue to do things the old way. They're going to try to bring back the Ki Vatishachei Sa'aretz Bifnei Elokim with Chamas, because they're part of the old world. Noach, who was the leader in the new world, he wanted fresh. He's going to have a new child. He will bring into this world a new child, a new boine for this new world. Be the primary child. Should I do this, Hashem?
Shame was good. What was wrong with shame?
Nothing, but nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong with shame, but it's still something fresh. There's still a freshness. Like the old joke with the Rebbes. You have a whole collection of all the big Rebbes, the Groyser Rebbes. The biggest of the big, with the big Strimals and the big, all the beautiful Malchus, they're all sitting around the table by Shalosh Shudas, and each one saying, you know who I am? I'm a Yachsen. My Tate was this one. My Zayde, my Elter Zayde. My Elter Zayde is a Balmoifes. My Elter Zayde, Azoy. Each one was bragging the Yichus. They come to a new Rebbe, also wearing the big day Malchus, the whole nine yards. He had no yichus. His father was a baker. He worked in the middle of the night baking bread and cake and whatever. So he came to his turn. No. What's your yichus? What's your yichus? So he said, I don't have any yichus. My father was a pashut yid. He was a baker. But he gave me, I have a mesorah from my father. He told me, there's nothing like a fresh bagel. All of you guys are stale. Fresh.
But then Rashi says in the end of Bereishis that all the Shem Chum Yefes were katanim. They shouldn't be royally.
Oynish. Rashi has other perushim also. Ayin Pam, Rashi has other perushim. Ayin Pam, they weren't such ketanim. They were 100 years old. They were 100 years old. So ketanim. Okay, they were not royal for punishment. Rashi just says they're not about oynishim.
Right.
That's all he says. It doesn't mean they were tzaddik. He doesn't say they were tzaddik. He just they were not bar oynishim. And those days, 100 years old, and Rashi goes on, 20 years old, you're a Bar Ancient. Not in the olden days. In the olden days, at least 100 years old, you need to be a Bar Ancient. Rashi, so, but still, it would have been a fresh. You're right, there's nothing wrong with shame. 100%. We are from shame. But Noah had much bigger plans. He had much plans, grand plans, to bring into, start fresh. And Noah, why should I? I shall waste my time on this. Hashem will come and destroy the world all over again. So Hashem said, no. Engage in what Chazal called Yorek Echetz. I'm going to give you an ois, a sign of a keshes. Noach was not willing to proceed one inch until he had the guarantee that Hashem is not going to destroy the world. This is Noach after the Marble. But Noach after the Marble, we know, was a depressed person. I mean, and it's not nice to say those words, but I'm just using make-believe words just to bring out a point. He comes out of the teva. He doesn't even want to come out of the teva. He wants a guarantee from Hashem. And Vayochel Noyach Ish Adam Chazal criticized him. Why did you start with the vineyard? You should have started with planting something else. And a terrible story happened. He was exposed. He was vulnerable, and but because of his behavior, look what happened to him. Look what
Noach
cannot
arrogantly make demands of Hashem.
What?
How does Noach arrogantly make demands of Hashem?
I don't know. I'm reading Rashi. We look at the Rashi at the end of Parashas Noach. He wanted a haftacha, and the haftacha was the ois bris. Okay.
Avram also wanted
Avram. Now here we come. Now let's go to Parash. Let's go now. So therefore, what's the point of Parashas Noach? There were two Noachs. There was a Noach before the Mabul and a Noach after the Mabul. The Noach before the Mabul was a very upbeat, optimistic, positive, energetic person. After the Mabul, he was a depressed person. I don't mean that literally, but there's something missing. There's something very tragic. You can't blame him. He had a traumatic experience. The world was destroyed. The lion bit him. Ach, Noach, he was going Noach. He was bringing up phlegm and blood. He had a very, after the Mabul, he was a shadow of himself. And he wasn't willing to proceed until he had guarantees from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Noach before the Mabul, Noach after the Mabul. Now, Avram Avinu, there are two Avrams. There was a major event in the parasha. Now, you can say, what was the major event we're suggesting that really changed Avram's outlook on life? Because the pasuk really says, this makes it pretty clear, it was Lot, the battle that Avram waged to save the life of Lot. There was a world war. You can't deny the fact that there was a world war beyond any world war we can imagine today. There were four kings and there were five kings. For 12 years, the four kings served the five kings. And then they said, Adkan. And Rashi, the Shif Sidi Chacham, explained, for 12 years, they rebelled. They rebelled, 12 and 12. And that, we want to rebel, Adkan. We're now going to get, now we're going to force. No more diplomacy, force is going to be, and a war broke out between the 12 kings, and between the four kings and the five kings. The world was at war. It wasn't a pretty sight. It was a Mabul. A Mabul. There was a world war. Who was part of the collateral damage? Lot. Lot is in trouble. Avram gets his people together, miraculously conquers the whole world. And it's hard to believe when we're saying these words. You know, you read a few psukim. If we were living during these times, we wouldn't believe what's going on. The world turned over. There was a world war. And Avram Avinu single-handedly comes into the war and he goes and he knocks out everyone. He wipes out everyone. And they all come and the Malach, the Emek HaMelech, Rashi says, they coronated him the king of the world. And there's a lot more going on that's been lost from us. Where's the movie? we need a motion, an action-packed motion, a movie to describe what happened to the whole world. Avram, after the war was over and he won, he was depressed. He was a dejected person. How do you know that? Because after the war was over, he's sitting around and he says to Hashem, "What's this all worth? Umatitein li." The Onoichi Hoyle Hariri Uven Mesek Basi who Meshek Basi who Damesek Eliezer. What did I gain out of this whole thing? What's gonna be tomorrow? What's my legacy? It's over. I die, the world goes back to the way it was. He was depressed. He was depressed. There was the Avram before the war, and there was the Avram after the war. Two different Avrams. A happy, optimistic, powerful Avram. And there's an old man. He's depressed. The war is over. How old is he? 90 years old? 199 years old? When all these things happen? He's an old man. It's over. Umatitenli. This is how a depressed, clinically depressed person talks. Umatitenli. I don't chas shal mean those words. The kodesh hakadoshim Avram Avinu. You know what I mean? I don't chas shal mean. I'm just trying to bring out a point. There's the Avram before, the Avram afterwards. So Hashem says, Avram, get up, get out of your depression, and go weiter. Did Avram say to Hashem, you want me to go weiter and rebuild the world? I want guarantees. I want it in writing. I want an ois that I will succeed. Hashem said, listen to me. Vayoytzei oytzei hachutza. Tzei meitztagninu shalucha. Look at the stars. Koi yiyeh zarecha. So what did Avram say? Make believe it would have been Noach. Same thing after the Mabel. Oh, Hashem, I would like a guarantee in writing. I have a lawyer here. I want it to be notarized. I want guarantees. No, Avram said, Vehemin b'Hashem. Hashem said to Avram, you're depressed? Pick yourself up and go forward. I'm going to give you a child. Engage in Priya Urviya. There was a world war. The world was destroyed. The world's been overturned. You're now the boss. New world. Go further. Rebuild the world. I'm going to give you a child. Did Avram ask for a guarantee? No. Vehemin b'Hashem. Now let's go back to the Rashi. So there are two Avrams. There's the Avram before the war, and there's the Avram after the war. The Avram before the war was a very positive, energetic person, and the Avram after the war was depressed. There were two Noachs. There was a Noach before the Mabel, a Noach after the Mabel. Yesh Meraboy said, now come along the critics. Okay, the critics want to go and analyze the story. We compare, let's make believe we're going to compare Noach to Avram. But you can compare the Noach number one to Avram number one. And you can compare Noach number two to Avram number two. Noach number one, Yesh Merabai Seinu Shadoshim Oisai L'Shevach. If Noach would have been in the shoes of Avram, Noach number one, before the Mabel, would have been in the shoes of Avram before the war, he would have accomplished even more than Avram. Before the World War, what did Avram do? Avram mekadeves ha'anoshim, v'sara megayeres es hanoshim. Avram, he was an outreach person. Did Avram really succeed? No.
Well,
Chazal said, what happened to the hanefesh asher asu b'charam? In the short and long term, no. He didn't succeed long term. He didn't succeed. But the people he dealt with were receptive. They weren't. It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah that the people in Avram's generation were mole chomos. They were hashchisikol basras darkoi. Could you imagine what Noach would have done if Noach lived in the time of Avram before the war? Maybe Noach would have lived then. Ish tzaddik tamim hoyim was a tzaddik, and Noach was fighting against rishoyim gemurim. Could you imagine if Noach lived in the generation of Avram before the war? It says about Avram es hanefesh asher osu b'choron. Could you imagine how many more neshamos Noach would have made? And maybe those neshamos would have survived, would have lasted long term, not only short term.
I understand that Noach was depressed when the whole world he knew was destroyed.
No, I'm up to Noach number two. I'm up to Noach number one.
No, but I'm asking about Avram. Why was Avram down after the war of the Malachim? What bothered him that he was so far down?
Because it's very logical. He achieved amazing success beyond anyone's belief. For what? For what? Can you imagine you go to the moon?
He's to save Lloyd.
And you have no one to tell. No one to tell what happened. Hold on, no. Is what do you do with your accomplishments? You win $1 billion. You can't spend it.
So the purpose was to save light, and he was successful.
It was more than that. He conquered the world. And for who and for what? I saved Lot. And now what? What's the goal? What's the purpose? What am I going to do with all of this? The moment that I die, everything goes back to the way it was. What's the purpose of all this? It's depressed. It's very, very logical. You achieve incredible success. You see all these people in the world, these baseball players, they win the World Series. They're heroes. The whole world dances around them. These players, they're 30 years old, they're 25 years old, they're literally on the top of the world, and then check them out 25 years later. Depressed, drug addicts, in hospitals and this. What's it all worth? You achieve at 25 years old, fame beyond belief, the whole world, you won the World Series, the quarterback, and this, all different sports things. And then what? And then what? What do you do with the rest of your life? Unfortunately, many of them, not all of them, many of them, what do I do now? What do you do now? How do you build upon your success? Avram said, there's never been such success. How do I build upon it? He was depressed. Okay, now let's compare the next part of the Rashi. The Yesh Darshim Lignai. Had Noach lived in another generation, Be'avram, Loinech Shav Liklum. It's not a contradiction to the first part of Rashi. The second, the Yesh Darshim Lignai, is referring to Noach number two. The Noach after the Mabul. The Noach after the Mabul demanded from HaKadosh Baruch Hu a guarantee that he will not destroy the world so he can, before he will engage in the mitzvah of Priya Urviya and have another child, child number four, to populate the world. Only when Hashem, okay, Noach, have another child. Begin anew. And a guarantee. I'm going to put in the sky the keshes, so you can engage in Yerikichetz. Avram, number two, the world was destroyed. I mean, he conquered the world. And now what? It's Avram number two, I'm depressed. What's this all for? V'nochi holech hariri. Avram, proceed. We build the world. You're going to have a child. I'm telling you, go forward, have a child. Did Avram need a guarantee? Vehemin b'Hashem. If Noach would have been Avram, Noach number two would have been Avram number two, lo hoya nechshav leklum. Noach wanted a guarantee to proceed with Priya Urviya. It's not exactly the same, obviously, because there was nothing physically holding him back. It was just a question, should he do? Should he have a child? Avram, he didn't have a children. Hashem told him, don't worry, you'll have a child. Just go fight her. And don't worry. Vehemin b'Hashem. The challenge, he didn't need an ois. He didn't need anything. I'm willing. So that's not a contradiction. The point we're trying to make over here is that in this week's parash, parashas Lech Lecha, it is Lech Lecha, it's not parashas Noach, there's two Avrams. There's Avram number one and there's Avram number two. Two different tekufas in his life. There's the early Avram, powerful, optimistic, happy, successful man who had a mission. And then there's Avram number two, a different tekufa in his life. He's been challenged with what we would call today in modern terms, depression. And what am I going to do now? And Avram, each was a nisoyin, and the nisoyin of number two, Avram was told by Hashem, have emuna, and Avram had emuna. The hemin b'Hashem. Noach, in contrast, also had two tekufas in his life, before the Mabul and after the Mabul. Before the Mabul, he was very successful. After the Mabul, he wasn't as much successful. He the emuna of Noach after the Mabul was less. And the similarity between Avram number one, Noach number two, and Noach one and two, these two people, there's a very striking similarity. And the Musa Haskell is, you never really know. You see people in one tekufa in their life, very successful. And you look at other people in a similar tekufa, and they're not so successful. Don't write them off. You never really know where a person's strength lies, in which type of tekufa, which nisayon in their life, and which one has a much greater impact. The impact that Noach, where he was needed, was the end of his life. But he didn't succeed. He didn't succeed in that. He wanted a guarantee. He didn't protect himself. And look what happened. Chum came along. He wasn't successful at the end of his life. Even though he was more successful in the beginning of his life than Avram would have been. Than Avram, that's what Chazal Hakol Shechin. Would have been even greater. You never know. You never know where a person shines. And you never know where Hashem needs his soldiers to prevail. Just because you see people, they're not very successful in certain tikkunos of their life. Who are you to judge? Like today, today there are a lot of children, young children, on the edge. Okay? Who's to judge? No, so they're not the best students. They do things that not everyone is so proud of. Who's to judge? Who's to judge? Every tikufa, Hashem has his soldiers. They're gonna be, I remember this story, it really haunts me, this story. Before the war, they were in shul. They were like any type of shul. They were little kids. Vildechayes. Running around during shalashas. They were disturbing everyone. So the gabbai said to the Rebbe, do something. Tell the kids to be quiet. Discipline them. Bang your fist. Go take out your strap and beat them up. And you can't let these kids run around and be vildechayes and destroy the shul and run around and make all this trouble over here. So this is the story I heard. Whether it's true or not, it's really irrelevant if it's true or not. But it's a haunting story, and I really believe there's truth to it. The Rebbe was a very holy person, whoever this Rebbe was. I have no doubt it's a true story. I just can't remember the names. I don't know these people. So it's very hard for me to understand who these people are. He said, let them have fun. They're going to have a very difficult life, these children. Basically what he was saying is, he was saying up in Ruach HaKodesh, in hindsight, we understand what he was saying. There's a Holocaust coming. You don't see it. Now, what year was? I don't know what year it was. Everything is beautiful. Holocaust. 6 million Jews are going to die. You out of your mind? This Rebbe, Ruach HaKodesh, there's a Holocaust. These children who are a terror to you now, do you know the Kiddush Shem Shemayim they're going to make? In the Holocaust, what are they going to do? These are Hashem's soldiers. Now, you want to throw them out of shul. You want to spit on them. You're right. The Vildechayes. You're right. It's a problem. It's a big, big problem. But their day will come. Their day will come. If we were in their shoes, we're not going to be alive when this is going to happen. If we would be in their shoes when this is going to happen, we wouldn't be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim the way they're going to do it. What they're going to do, their nobility, us kneged these Vildechayes, lo nechshav leklum. Don't write any Jew off. You never ever know when they have their day. There's an Avram number one, Avram number two. A Noach number one, Noach number two. Chazal are basically saying that Avram, if you were taking Avram and put him by the marble, he wouldn't have survived. If you would take Noach and brought him in the early tikkuf of Avram's life, v'hanefesh asher asu b'charan, he would have built a whole world of tzaddikim. But that's not what was important for Hashem. The moment of truth was Noach number two and Avram number two. That's where it counted. The other tikkuf was just batting practice. The World Series was in Tekufa number two. And that's where we needed someone to succeed and shine. And Avram came through. And Noach did not. Okay, let's go to another idea. Another idea. And this is a half-baked idea, like I will tell you. But I really believe there's a lot of MS. And I leave it to you to finish off. To finish off the idea. I want to present you the Iker Yisoides of the idea. We're talking over here in this event here in this week's parasha about the bris ben avsar. The bris ben avsar is really part two of a conversation. Hashem, Noach is, Avram is sad. And Avram, he says to Hashem, "Nu, it's really been an incredible experience of fighting a world war. General Avram, 5-star General Avram, conquers the entire world." You know the story with, how could I forget? The name of the big Rashi of the Gadol Hador, Meir, help me, the one who was the Rashi for the Lubavitch for short Kufa and his own yeshiva.
Guzman,
unbelievable. Rav Guzman was the Gadol Hador, and he was in Eretz Yisrael in the beginning of the state, in the early years. And in those days, you couldn't get a telephone. If you wanted to get a telephone, it would take a year, literally a year to get a telephone. You call up until they would come down and install a telephone. It was impossible. So he opened up a little yeshiva. What?
It's even more fun when you try to dial somebody.
So Rav Guzman, he opened a little yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, a little yeshiva, and he needed a telephone for the yeshiva. So they called up, get a telephone. You're like the last person in the world we're going to get install a telephone. You could imagine, right? So he said, "We need a telephone." So he said, "What's doing? They're not giving us. Let me call. Give me the number. Let me go and speak to them." So he obviously goes somewhere. There is a telephone. And he calls up the government and he says, "Hello? This is General Guzman. This is General Guzman. I have troops. I have my battalion here in this location. We need a phone now. You're speaking to the general. My troops, my battalion, we're positioned. This is an emergency. We need it now." "Okay, General Guzman, of course. The next day there was a phone. Would you believe it's a true story? It's a true story. He called himself General. They believed him. And there was a phone the next day. "This is my yeshiva. These are my people, my troops." It's a true story. Avram was a general. He conquered the entire world. What happened? He says to Hashem, "What is all worth? V'anochi holech hariri. V'anochi holech hariri." Let me read the words of the Pasek. V'yomer. Achar ha'devorim ho'ele. After the World War Zero. Okay, whatever you want to call it. Achar ha'devorim ho'ele. Ho'yo devar Hashem el Avram. B'machazele mar altiro Avram. Anochi mogein lach. Secharcha harbe me'oid. V'yomer Avram, Hashem elokim matiten li. V'anochi ho'elech ariri uven meshek. Beisihu damesek Eliezer. What is all worth? V'yom Avram heinli, and then he goes for heinli lo inosata zora. V'nei then beisi yoresho si, period. V'yinei, so what happens? Hashem appears to him, and Hashem says to him, "Don't worry." V'yinei dvar Hashem elav leimar lo yirosh chazeh, "Do not worry, kim asher yetze minei echa, hu yirosh echa." V'yoyitze yoyis ha'chutza, v'yom habidu Hashem mitzvah kachavim, Imtuchal l'spor isam bayom eloi kol yiyeh zareach. And what's the next words? Ve'hemin b'Hashem. Hashem said to Avram, "You will have a child. You will have a nation." He believed. Emuna pshuta. Next. Vayom re'elov. Ani Hashem. Hashem goes on to say, "I have something else to give you, Avram. I have a second blessing to give you. And you know what that is? Lo seis lecha es ha'oretz hazois lirishta. I'm giving you this land." Vayoymar, really? Hashem Elokim. Bamo eda ki irashena. I want a guarantee. I want it in writing. I want a record. I want a lawyer. I want guarantees. So Hashem says, "Fine. Let us now forge the covenant, the bris bein habesar." Okay, so I don't know, you all know this, everyone knows this. There are two things happened in this conversation. Achar, it's one parasha, there's no parasha psuch, parasha stuma. It was one conversation with regard to his children. Vehemin b'Hashem, with regard to the land, he ran out of steam. I want a guarantee. Okay, and Rashi dwells upon this, and because the emunah with regard to Eretz Yisroel was not the same as with regard to the promise of children, we have Yisurin. Eretz Yisroel niknes b'Yisurin. It's not so easy. Eretz Yisroel has been, a lot of blood has been spilled, lost over Eretz Yisroel. And Chazal says, it's not me, I'm not making this. And Chazal say, it's because the contrast of Bamo'ed, if only Avram would have said Vehemen, would have said Vehemen Bahashem about Eretz Yisrael, it would have been today a different reality. It would have been a different reality. Okay, this is. I want to make a suggestion. And then it goes on to say, Yadoa Teidayam, the Tzrayim, the whole story, the Shibu, the Golus, the Yisum, it's all part of the same.
It hasn't been so easy to receive.
Correct. It's not easy for anything, but relatively speaking, Eretz Yisrael has been even more difficult. Has been much more difficult. Okay. Now, I want to suggest you a drush. And the drush is, there's one more part to the drush. When Avram indeed, Hashem appears to Avram, and promises, and now the process begins. When Hashem now, okay, let's begin the process. I told you you're going to have children. Okay, so you have. First thing we need to do is change your name. That was part of what. Vayoytze oisa achutza. Same, it's tagnina shalacha. Rashi says Avram will not have children, but Avrohom will have children. So when Hashem does this procedure of changing his name, how does it begin? How does the parasha begin? Later, Perek Yudzayin. Vayavrom ben Tishim Shana v'Seisha Hashanim, 99 years old. Vayavro Hashem el Avrom vayomer lo, Ani Kel Shakai. Ooh, look at that. A whole new name. Hashem, let me introduce myself to you. My name is Shakai. Right? It's the first time, if I'm not mistaken, we have this introduction. My name is Shakai. And with that introduction, let me tell you, I want you to have a bris, milah. We're going to begin the process of you having children. The bris milah, the reproductive organ, change of name, from Avram to Avraham. And here we go. You're going to have now children. V'freisi oischa, the pasuk makes it clear as day. The purpose of this process of having a bris milah, a reproductive organ, and changing your name is all to have children. You're going to be la'av hamoin goyim, v'freisi oischa b'ma'oid ma'oid, unesatichim l'goyim ma'olachim m'chol yetzei. All right, wonderful. Shakai, the name Shakai, is probably the most visible, the most pronounced name of Hashem for Klal Yisrael, for one very simple reason. It appears on our tefillin. Every single male Jew wears tefillin, upon which everyone on the tefillin shel roish, what is there? The shin. The kesher on the back is the dalit. On the yud, on the arm, it's the yud. Shin, dalit, on the rosh, and the letter yud on the tefillah shel yad. And this name has been introduced to Avram with regard to, really both. You should know this with regard to having his named children, and as the pasuk continues, v'nosati lecha u'mezaracha acharecha eis eretz migurecha eis kol eretz kenan. Two things: children and eretz Yisrael. Perek Yud Zayin is now the process of fulfilling the conversation that we had. After World War Zero is now going to begin. There was a war. Avraham was sad. Matitainli. Hashem says, I'm giving you children. Vehemin Bahashem. I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. Bris Ben Habisar. Now, let's begin the process. Hashem comes back and he introduces himself, Ani Kel Shakai. And now we're going to begin the process of having children and of giving you Eretz Yisrael. I want to suggest that the reason why we wear every single day tefillin is I am Talmud Torah. When we wear tefillin every single day, the tefillah shel Rosh and the tefillah shel Yad, This is a zecher for this week's parsha. The conversation that Hashem had with Avram after the Muhammad at the Bris Bein HaBesar. The Tfilin Shel Roish corresponds to Eretz Yisrael. And the Tfilin Shel Yad corresponds to your children. You will have a child. And let me explain. First of all, what's inside the tefillin? What's the big secret? Did you ever wonder what's inside it? Someone's joking with you. What's inside the tefillin? There are four parashios. What does it say in the four parashios? Well, Parsha Shema and Parsha Svehoyim Shemoah. So you ask the average, what does it say in Parsha Shema and Parsha Svehoyim Shemoah? A lot of things, right? It's a lot of things it says there. It says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The Hoyim Shema, if you listen, I want to tell you that it says that also. That's not the main thing. You know what the main parts of Kriya Shema are? Children. Shema Yisrael is only a hakdama to children. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Father, who is the pasuk addressing? The pasuk is addressing the chosan under the chuppah. When you say Shema Yisrael, make believe you're at a wedding, and the Torah is speaking to the chosan. Listen here, you should know Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'yo hafta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol lav b'chol Hashem Elokeinu yedech. V'ho yu hadvar mo'el Hashem Elokeinu mitzavcha yom aluvech. And when you chasan denan under the chuppah, know that there is a God, and know and love that God, and observe what He told you to do with all of your heart. Now, when you proceed and marry this woman, Vishinantom Livonecha, make sure you diligently teach this to your offspring. Vidibartaba, speak with your children in the words of Torah when you sit in your new house that you're going to build. Bideisecha, Uvalechcha Vaderecha, Vishachcha Vumecha, Ukesharatom Laos, then it says, and make sure you wear tefillin. That's why we read this parasha. That bar mitzvah boy, you give the bar mitzvah boy your children. Kriya Shema, sorry to burst the bubble, is all about children. Vishinantam levonech. And the beginning is just a hakdama. Don't think of having children until you're a mature adult. And being a mature adult means you have a goal. You're mature, you have a goal, you're educated, and you know that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and you observe the mitzvahs. Now that you have been prepared, you've received a license, you've received your diploma in child education, now, Vishinantam Livonech. And do with your children everything I've told you. What's V'hoyim Shemoya? It's the same thing. V'hoyim Shemoya Tishmo El Mitzvah Seshmach Mitzvah Esmayim Liyavah Shemoyim Lohan Bukhan Bukhan Shechem. I'm going to give you Parnasa, and if you don't behave, you're in a lot of trouble. That's the education. And then that's your education. Then what does it say? It says, don't forget, everything that I've just taught you, that if you behave, you get reward. If you misbehave, you're punished. That's your education. That's your diploma. Make sure you tell everything that I just told you. Osam goes back on everything that I just taught you. Make sure you teach this to your children. And make sure, and write this on your bias, the bias where you live with your children. It's all about children. Children? Excuse me, where does children come into the picture over here? V'onochi holi hariri! Uven Meshek Beisi, who done Meshek Eliezer? Who knew what's this all worth? Avram, quiet. I'm giving you children. I'm going to give you a child. The Henin Bahashem. That's the Tzila Shel Yad. The parashas of the Tzilin of Shema and the Hoyim Shema. That's what you put in it. Then they go, what? And Avram, I have another gift to give you. Another gift. Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. Really? Where's the lawyer? Brisbane, I'm sorry. Okay, sign the dotted line. Vayevate oisam batovech. It's all in writing, guarantee Eretz Yisrael. What are the other two parashos of Tzilin? Kadesh v'hoya ki v'yacha. What is it saying? What is the thrust of Kadesh and v'hoya ki v'yacha? Go to the sinner. Vayidaber Hashem v'yishol v'yishol Kadesh v'chol b'char. Every year. Pesach v'yishol 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 כי בחוזיות, היום אתם יוצאים מהם בכל השולים. והויו כי יביאך השם אל ארץ הכנעני, והחיתי, והאמורי, והחיבי והיבוסי, השם נשבע עליו עשה חול לא עשה סלוח, ארץ זבה עשה חול ודרוש. ויבן זו עשה מורד החזוס. It's clear as day. The whole theme, the chunk, okay, you have to read, interpret the whole parasha in this context. It's pretty major theme of what's going on in the parasha of Kadesh. You're going into Eretz Yisrael. It's all about Eretz Yisrael. What's the second parasha? V'hoyo ki yiviyacho Hashem el Eretz HaKinani Kasher nishval l'chov l'avasecho nisan l'loch. This is what you do in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael. Korbanos. Peterechem. Petach hamor tifteh. This is all. Ki b'chol zegito. Yitzias Mitzrayim brought you to Eretz Yisrael. The main thrust of Kadesh v'hoyo ki yiviyacho we're suggesting is Eretz Yisrael. The main thrust of Shema V'Hoyo Im Shemaya is children, kinderlach, children. Why? And all of this is wrapped up in a package called Shakai. Shin, letter Dalet Yud, which is the shame that Hashem, let me introduce myself to you. My name is Shakai. And with this we will proceed to fulfill the promises that I've promised you. Shakai, Rashi says, Shakai means, Rashi is a beautiful Rashi, Shakai means there is enough divinity in this world for every single creature to have their chelik. Dai, elokusi, l'chol b'riya. I'm infinite. I can satiate every living creature in this world with my godliness, with my divinity. I'm infinite. Die on the one hand, it's like an oxymoron. Die on the means enough, enough, stop. It should not be infinite. But yet, Rashi says, it only means Shakai. Shedai be'elukusi l'chol b'riya. Rashi on this week's parasha. There's enough of my divinity to penetrate every living creature in this world. We have enough dosages of this injection of godliness for every creature in this world, with all of the boosters you'll ever need. Die. There's enough for everyone of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the whole world. And that is the package for, you're going to have children, and you're going to have Eretz Yisrael, and I'm infinite, and I can do it, and I will do it. That's Tefillin. The Tefillin, now why do I say the Tefillin Shel Yad is children? The thrust of the Tefillin Shel Yad is children, and the thrust of the Tefillin Shel Rosh is Eretz Yisrael. The Tefillin Shel Rosh, Chazal discussed the principle of fear. V'rohu kol amei ha'oretz, kishem Hashem nikro alecha v'yodu minek. Nowhere does it say anywhere that the Tefillin Shel Yad evokes fear. It doesn't say that. The principle of fear in the Tefillin Shel Rosh. What?
They don't even see it.
Right, l'vohayo l'chol. Why? In the Bris Bein HaBesorim, Emog, it's remes. It's. I mean, yeah. I told you, it's not a full var. There has to be more things have to be worked out. What happened during the Bris Bein HaBesorim? Chashecha, Emog gidoyla nafla olaf. The whole Bris Bein HaBesorim was wrapped up in pachat, Emog. As a corresponding to that event, the tefillin represent the pachat and the Emog. It captures that element. In the Tzilin, the Tzilin Shel Rosh, it is for the whole world to see. It's for the whole world. Eretz Yisrael is for the whole world. Gibesi beis tefila l'chol ha'amim. It is the nation. Eretz Yisrael is not a private institution. It is a public institution. It is the whole world to see Eretz Yisrael, to acknowledge the existence of Eretz Yisrael. You know, the establishment of the State of Israel is no klinik. The whole world to acknowledge that there isn't a land of Jews, a Jewish land, not an Israeli land, a Jewish land. It's not
the world
a.
Doesn't acknowledge.
Okay, but it doesn't. Yes and no. Nothing in this world is black and white. It's and the parashos are broken into parts. Vayivater oisam batovich. Every animal was split. In the Tzilin Shel Rosh, there has to be a separation between the parashios. Okay, I'm just telling you, throwing out words and ideas. Things have to be understood, obviously, on a much deeper level. And why? The Tzilin Shel Yad, there's no splitting of the parashios. It's one bias. All the parashios are on one piece of parchment. There's no separation. Tzilin v'hoyol l'chol ois. Your family is private. It's everyone, it's off limits, none of your business. Your bias, matoivu oy holecho Yaakov, sheloi nostu pischem zel umazer, the bias is private. That's a basic principle in Yadus. Kol kivuda basmelech pinima. None of your business what goes on in my house. Mind your business. My Pesach is not open to your Pesach. My Pesach is on the side. You have no business, no. V'hoyol l'cholois. The Tefillin Shel Rosh is Eretz Yisrael. This is for the world to see. What do you say? This is what do you say when you put on the three rings? The Tefillin Shel Yad is emuna. Vehemin b'Hashem. When it came to the haftocha, you will have children. The Hemin b'Hashem. It's the children. The Tefillah Shel Rosh is the Bris Ben HaBesorim. It's Eretz Yisrael. V'rohu kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecha. Hashem's mashra, his shechina, we're in Eretz Yisrael. All of this is wrapped up in Shin Dalet Yud. The Shem Hashem. Because when Hashem introduces himself to Avram, we will now begin the process of giving you Eretz Yisrael. Ani Kel Shaka. We remember that Eretz Yisrael and the Haftacha of Zerah was given at the time when Hashem said to Klali, to the world, Ani Kel Shaka. Okay, so obviously there's more that has to be worked out of here, but I really believe there's truth to this. The four parashos, two of them, thrust is Eretz Yisrael. Two of them, the thrust is children. Obviously, they're all intertwined. Both of these things took place at the same time after the Milchama of the four kings and the five kings. And Hashem proceeded to fulfill his promise, Perek Yud Zayin, with Kel Shakai. It's broken up into two parts, the Shel Yad and Shel Rosh. One is public, one is private. One, there's lots of separation to the Merames, to the Bris Ben Absam, Vayivat Esam Batodech. The Shel Yad, there's no separation. The Shel Yad is private. Children, your bias is private. We emphasize the principle of Emunah to reflect upon Avram, Vemim Vahashem, and the Bris Ben Absarim is a little bit different. Yeah.
It's interesting. Baruch Haim HaKadosh, I saw it. The Bonim with Eretz Yisrael, how? Hashem promised that the Zarech et Nedah. How old was Avram and Sarah? 100, and she was
90.
190. So Canaan is gematria.
190. Wow.
Puts it together.
Very nice. Very nice. Unbelievable. Eric Eretz Canaan 190 and yeah. Together. Beautiful. Okay, Rabbi. So with that we will conclude.
How many Eretz Yisrael that you need?
Oh, so that's the age-old question.
From what you were just saying, maybe it's the bonim, which was a spiritual thing, that was a muna. The land, which is more a physical thing, I need a...
bonim are also physical.
There's more to bonim that it's more... It's
more saying maybe it's, well, maybe what you're saying is that bonim is... It's children is yours. I can have a muna. But when you make an argument, you make a personal choice. Go talk about this, like, you know, in politics. Make a personal choice. But if you want to impose your personal choice upon other people, then you have to prove it. Show me the science. So banim vehemin b'Hashem. Eretz Yisrael means it's with telling you to get out to other nations. It's our land. Get out of here. And it affects the world. If you take possession, you're affecting the Umay Sa'ilam by, so then you're dealing with others, so then maybe there, it's not your choice to have that moment. It has to be more of a haftacha. You can't tell someone to do something to trust you.
You're
dealing with yourself, you're entitled to have emunah. But you cannot impose your emunah upon others. Listen, this is the age-old question, the machalik between the two, and there is no shortage of machalikim. And with that, we will conclude the one of the Shabbos.